And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we've got a very special program. We're going to go to the Jeff Rentz show. That's Jeff, R-E-N-S-E. He's a great old friend of mine. Well, I shouldn't call him old. He's probably younger than I am. So a great young friend of mine, the sterling quality Jeff Rentz. And I hope you listen to the Jeff Rentz show. It's on every night. And I'm just delighted to be a guest just once a month on there. And I come on and just bring whatever's new, whatever's fresh. And Jeff gives me the liberty to do so. Of course, it's his program, and he can cut me off anytime he wants, but he's been nice and hasn't done that up to now. Very courageous man, wouldn't you say? Because I can cover some controversial topics. And the topic we're going to cover tonight on the Jeff Rentz Show is really sort of amazing. And let me give you the title of it. It's titled Donald Trump, Master of the Zigzag and the Art of the Deal. Oh, yes. Master of the Zigzag and Art of the Deal. You know, this presidential phenomenon of Donald Trump has been very interesting to me. I mean, I've looked at what's going on, and you know, he says it's not anything like has ever happened before. It's a movement. And he says people really are expecting him to do what's right. This isn't just another presidential year. And all the other, you know, he ran out of town, 16 or 17 politicians. Remember those debates? Well, I'm sort of glad that he did because, man, they were a bunch of scrubs, weren't they? The problem is with Donald Trump, a lot of people are worried about him. They say he's never had, you know, any headway in politics. He doesn't have any experience in it. He's a businessman. He's a construction engineer. He's also a talk show host. Sort of a reality show called The Apprentice. You know, he made famous the very simple line, "You're fired," right? Now, I only watched that show a couple of times. I'm just too busy watching news and all that and digging up more facts for you, my friends. I work for you. But Donald Trump seems to be a very interesting man, and I don't know what kind of president he's going to make, but I believe he is going to be president. I'm not prophesying, but I do think that he will be. And the question is he going to produce? Is he going to end up America first? That's what he said. Is he going to build a wall, or was that just a suggestion? Is he going to cut Social Security and put so many of you into the lurch? You know, I'm very angry at anyone who would cut Social Security, cut Medicare, because you've been promised that. And it's not some kind of a gift or welfare. You paid into it all those years. And he's not going to give migrants all this slack either. And I suppose that he won't put dirty old men in little girls' bathrooms or showers like Obama's planning to do or trying to do. Oh, we look at Donald Trump with a lot of promise, don't we? A lot of expectations, a lot of hopes. Will he do what's right? That's the question. So we've been lied to for so long by the establishment, whether Democrat or Republican. We've been lied to, lied to, lied to. He says he's telling the truth. Could it be this man is going to do what he says? I pray that he will. So right now, let's just turn to the program with Jeff Rentz. And at the end of the program, I'd like to hear from you. Tell me what you think. Do you think he's going to be an honest man? Will he be America first? Will he stop the madness all around us? We shall see, but I'd like to hear from you. Please write to me and let me know. Thank you very much, my friends.
Let me bring you up to speed on what I know about the Donald Trump vice presidential sweepstakes. Things are changing rather rapidly. Dr. Ben Carson today came out. There's a big story in the Daily Mail, for example, about it. He has walked back, as the so-called journalists like to say now, walked back his comments about the final five or six on the shortlist for Donald Trump's VP slot. He has now said that, let me see if I can just read a little piece of this. It might be easier. All right. Responding to a Morning Consult poll, Ben Carson, a former rival of Trump's who endorsed him shortly after getting out of the race on March 2nd, told the Washington Post reporter that all the people that he mentioned earlier, including Palin, the 2008 vice presidential nominee, were on Trump's shortlist. But things have changed. Now he's saying, scratch Sarah Palin from the list. She's not on it. He also said that Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Kasich, and Christie are off the list. Well, I kind of like Sarah Palin for a number of reasons. The creeper, Lion Ted Cruz, thank God he's off the list if he was ever on it. Marco, don't call me gay in public. Rubio is off, thank goodness. John Kasich, a real creep and also probable homosexual. Remember, with an openly homosexual gay male in Washington, D.C. for 14 years, if that doesn't make him suspect, nothing does. And Chris Christie, off the list. Now, that's good, but it's bad in a way because it leaves the rather obvious and prominent, not mentioned name of Newt NAFTA Gingrich still obviously in the running. Now, I think if you've watched Rents, you'll know that I am not a fan of Newt for vice president. I don't know him personally. Maybe he's a great guy. He doesn't qualify. If Trump names him, he will hurt himself. He might lose 10% of his support base in terms of voting. I don't know the answer to that, but it's not going to help him. Newt is an insider's insider. The exact reason that we have been pushing Trump is because he's an outsider's outsider. Now, Trump said many times, I need somebody on the inside who can help get legislation passed. I say that's BS. He can hire anybody he wants. Any consultant, any lobbyist, anybody he wants to work the Congress. If he's got a piece of legislation, it's not going to be Newt Gingrich that gets it to pass. Newt's old hat. He's old news. He's yesterday's news. Now, there was a story on Fox. This is my last little bit today. It said Gingrich open to being Trump's GOP running mate. Now, keep in mind the vice president has a staff of six. It's largely a ceremonial position that doesn't do anything, really. Okay? That's why I think Ben Carson would be an excellent choice to consider. He's a counterpoint to the bombast, perceived or otherwise, of Donald Trump. He's mild-mannered. He's soft-spoken. He is an intelligent man. He presents in an understated way. I like understatement. So I think Ben Carson would be a superb candidate. In this article on Fox, Gingrich said, this is a quote now, Gingrich also suggested Sunday that his decision on whether or not to accept the vice presidential opportunity if offered to him would be based largely on what duties Trump would expect from a vice president and whether Trump indeed considers the job as serious. Now think about that. What's it mean? It means that Gingrich is already telling Trump that he wants power. He'll be running things in a very big way. Not only that, if Newt Gingrich ends up the vice president, I say it ups the stakes of possible assassination, God forbid, of Donald Trump in a very marked way. Gingrich is just a heartbeat away from the presidency. Think about it. Tex Mars, welcome back. Sorry to go on so long there, but I just wanted to set the stage for you. How are you?
Hey, just great, Jeff, and I was enjoying it. Maybe I should keep quiet and listen some more. You really had some great insight there into these people, and maybe we can talk more about that tonight. It's an interesting subject, and it's so vitally important.
Yeah.
So maybe we can talk more.
Which, if we have time, you've got your agenda laid out. Let's jump into it. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, you know, I've been thinking of Trump because I'm getting a lot of mail now. Of course, many people are very excited and they feel great about this. You know, people like us who've been powerless, who've been put down, who are treated like dirt. And I'm just talking about America first people, people who love the Constitution, who love this country, but they don't even care about us. It doesn't matter if 95% of the America want a certain policy issue. They'll vote against it because both the Democrats and Republicans, as you know, are controlled by the donor class, by the money people. In other words, the billionaire Jews. So given that, it is an interesting thing. The whole Trump phenomenon is interesting because he takes our side, you might say, generally speaking, because he's flip-flopped around over the years. But we some people give him credit. And they say, well, you know, that happens. You know, you have to give political donations to Democrats as well as
right.
Republicans. Because,
right.
I mean, after all, if you're building a building, you don't care. It's not a Democrat or Republican building. It's
right.
just a building. So we understand that. We're willing to be flexible in that. But as time goes on, more people now are beginning to worry that the establishment has a little bit more power in Donald Trump's life than it should. And of course, he is talking about walking back, you know, statements. He seems to be walking back statements he made about being fair in the Palestinian-Israeli dispute. He now says, you know, that he cherishes Israel. Of course, he's getting great support. Donald Trump is getting incredible support from very rich Jews now that he's accepting money, finally, for the general race.
Right.
So, you know, he said he would not accept money.
Yeah, right.
So he wouldn't be controlled. But he himself admitted that when you accept this money from these billionaires of the donor class, you do it with the understanding that you will be controlled by them. They will be able to tell you what to do. If that is so, then, for example, when Sheldon Adelson, the Jewish casino mogul and billionaire, recently said, I'm all in for Trump. And he said, I'm giving him $100 million. And I'm inviting my friends to do so.
Right.
Now, I can see a great shift is taking place here. And the neocon Jews are now beginning to come in. And they're beginning to really give Trump a lot of financial support, which doesn't mean they're not going to give it to Hillary too. These people have deep pockets. They're well able to give, you know, for example, Chaim Sabin, the Jewish billionaire, is giving Hillary tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
He is a friend of who? Well, Sheldon Adelson.
Yeah.
Sabin helps out the Democrats, and Adelson goes for the Republicans. So this is sort of a, you know, an alarm bell going off.
Oh, this is heads I win, tails you lose if you're a Jew. They don't care. We lose. We lose. The Goyim lose.
That's true. But, you know, I'm not exactly worried because I know how Trump works. And, you know, just recently I've sort of really watched him in action here. I got a copy of his book, to be honest with you, Art of the Deal.
Uh-huh.
And I read it. It's a very interesting book. And it pretty well, you know, confirms what you and I know about the man right now and his actions. I understand believing in business deals and being able to, you know, flash back and forth to get your way. You know, you have to be that way. I mean, you know, I've been in the work world for many years. I understand how it works. When you go into a staff meeting and there are powerful bureaucrats there, you can't just go in and say, I'm going to have it this way and that's it. You've got to, you know, sort of schmooze it a little bit here. Even if you want only your way, you've got to figure out a way to compliment these men, to work around them, and all of, you know, now it shouldn't be that way, perhaps. And I think if it were Jesus Christ in there, it would not be that way. It'd be straightforward, honest. And I think a gentleman like you too, you know, you're just straightforward, you're honest, and what you say about things, I can believe. But none of those politicians are like that.
No.
And Trump, as a businessman, he may be able to go back and forth. But so is he going to build the wall? I believe he will. I believe he will take these big promises, and he will keep them. But he may not. He may slide backwards somewhat because of all this political pressure. Remember this. He has incredible pressure on him. I mean, you know, somebody sent me a list of everybody who was against Donald Trump recently. I mean, it ranges from the Pope to the United Nations to the head of England, Minister of England.
All evil people, by the way, for the most part. So,
yes, they are. They absolutely are. I mean, a big, long list. I mean, I'm wondering, wow, there's not a lot of people for him. So I understand he has to, you know, you have to really be careful and watch what you say. And I think you understand. I don't think you're a hard-nosed guy, Jeff. I'm not. I'm willing to be a little flexible and compromise some. You know, when a union goes in, my dad was a union man. You know, I never was. I never had anything to do with it. But he was a union guy because he was a working class guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the union wouldn't just go in and say, okay, give us $2 pay raise, $2 an hour more, or we walk out.
Right.
They would say that, they would say that actually, expecting to get a dollar. But they would go in saying, we want $2, that's the bottom line, we will not take a penny less.
Right.
But that, a couple months later, they walked out with a dollar, and they were happy. You see, they always started out higher than they really thought they would get. And the same thing for working conditions and so forth. So the unions do this, always did this. And, of course, the big companies, they would start out saying, oh, we can't afford to give you anything. We're going to go out of business if we give you a pay raise. Bunch of liars, you know. So both sides really, you know, you really didn't know where they really would end up at. But so this may be Trump's situation as well. But now I believe he's—I call it, you know—I was you and I communicated by letter earlier today, and I said I think he is the master, not just of the deal, but I think he's the master of zigzag.
Interesting term, yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's the master of zigzag. He can zigzag back and forth to get what he wants, and it seems to me the man really wants to be—he wants to have a legacy of being an American. He wants to, I mean, he doesn't want to be another bureaucrat going in there.
No way.
And he's got enough money. Of course, you know, he's the kind of guy that probably would like to have more money. But I really think he wants to be a famous president. He wants to do right by the people. Now, maybe I'm giving him too much credit. People are going to...
No, I don't think so. I don't think so, Tex. I think you're 100% on the money. I think the man's heart is right there to be seen and experienced by anybody who cares. I think he speaks absolute truth, and I think he truly cares. Remember the cremation of care that they do at the Grove every year? They burn care.
Right.
Donald Trump cares. Go ahead.
And by the way, he's not a member of the Bohemian Grove either.
No.
And he's not a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and all of those groups.
No.
So I think that's one of the reasons why. In fact, I think it was Newt Gingrich that said he's not a member of a secret society, so they don't want him. Well, that's sort of an interesting statement, wasn't it?
It certainly was.
He's not a member of a secret society. So, but in any case, I'm getting people really talking. You know, now you sent me a couple letters that you'd got. I don't want to mention any names. Really, people that I greatly admire who say that they're beginning to be worried about Trump. And is he gonna do what's right in the Middle East? He seemed like he would at first. But is he now going to wobble? What's going to happen? Now, I thought about this master of zigzag, let's just call him that,
right.
And the head of the art of the deal. He's a great one to do that. And I think you're right. I think he's going to turn out. I think we will be shocked. Now, in the past, now, he's not a Hitler. He's certainly not a...
Oh, please. Oh, yeah. Those people.
Exactly. He's not a Joseph Stalin.
No.
He's an American. He's a, you know... All out American. I believe that. But I look at their lives, and I've really studied the lives of these gentlemen, including Richard Nixon, by the way, who I think tried to do the right thing, but got caught up in these crimes and such.
Yeah, I agree. He was
trying to fight the Jews and save America as well as he could, he and his vice president, Spiro Agnew. Now, it seemed that you know, at first, Hitler... Let's just compare the three. Hitler, Stalin, and Trump. Not in terms of their personal behavior, how evil they were or anything, because I think Trump is far superior. But just in the way they handled the Jewish thing. At first Hitler took some money from the banks. He did. And you know the transfer agreement the Zionists worked with the Germans. Of course they've denied it for many years, but it's true. Because they wanted Israel and they thought Germany could help them and all that. So they were willing to work with the Nazis. But Hitler, some say he double crossed them or he tricked them or whatever. But it turned out that yes, he's willing to take money from anybody who'll give it to him. I mean, for political purposes. But now, Hitler didn't give a hoot about money. Anyone who is a proper historian of Hitler would say, you cannot tell me the man cared about money. He was not a money man. He cared about Germany. And he was very concerned about the Jewish agenda for the whole world. Their future. And what is their future? Their future, is a term called Tikkun Olam, which means the Jews will rule the entire world, and they will renew the world. They will mend it, make it anew. Every Gentile in the world will be killed. We will all be, well, we'll have our heads cut. And this is not some crazy, this is not some little bitty sect. I'm talking about Judaism. I'm talking about the Talmud. I'm talking about the Bible. It's a very religion. They believe these things. And I guarantee you probably 90% of the Jews living in Israel are for this future world where the Jews will be supreme and the Gentiles will be like beasts, like insects, and we stomped down and exterminated.
And you know, let me elaborate just a little on that. About 90% of the Jews would back that. I think you're completely correct. When the bell rings, they're going to answer. They will answer the call to their people, their way of thinking, to the Talmud, and world dominance. They will. And if it requires exterminating 3/4 of the non-Jews, they'll do it. I believe that. I always have. And I think history proves it correct. Remember, the Russian Revolution was not a revolution by Russians, folks. Don't buy that trick of history. It was a Bolshevik Zionist Jewish revolution in the private, normal, independent nation of Russia. And nothing less. Go ahead.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. And of course, but Hitler proved to be very resolute, and not, he was out for money. He wasn't out, I don't believe he was out for, world power. He wasn't out, to take over the world and all that. He was not a madman. I'm not saying he was perfectly good. I'm just pointing out the good traits he had that I believe that the man had. And so we get to Stalin.
Before you leave Hitler, we really have to, at least I would like to, make this one simple observation. He is, without question, the most maligned, smeared, libeled, defamed, misunderstood as a result of that, major political and social leader in probably human history. He has been smeared like CNN has been smearing Trump. Hitler has been smeared by the Jewish media ever since, and it will never stop. That man was so popular with his people. He loved his people. He wanted nothing but the best for Germany. Ever since the World War I Treaty of Versailles horror, that's all he lived for. And he was surrounded by people, and we watched Trump becoming surrounded by people who may not have had his interests in mind or the same. Or look at Martin Bormann. They say the real power back there. Hard to know, but he was a phenomenal individual in many ways. Okay? And now that leaves it up to you folks to do your research if you're not up to speed. Most of you are. You wouldn't be listening to this program. Hold on, Tex. We'll come right back and go to Joseph Stalin, who did not have the adoration of his people, like Adolf Hitler did. He killed him. He didn't wait for him to applaud him. No, this guy was a beast, a monstrosity, a butcher, a horror of a human being, the antithesis of Adolf Hitler. Okay, Tex, Uncle Joe, our ally, and how he was called Uncle Joe in the war. What a nice appellation for him. Makes him sound like a good guy, huh?
Yeah, he was a great man, a great man, a killer. You know,
everyone's got their faults, right?
But his sort of went to the extreme, wouldn't you think?
Just a little.
Just a little bit. But, you know, he did learn from Lenin, a murderous Jew, and Trotsky, another murderous Jew. So, you know, you have to give him credit. He had good teachers, at least, in the killing phase. And I agree with you entirely. You can't even compare Stalin and Lenin, Hitler at all. There's no comparison. For one thing, Hitler was elected. He was chosen by the people.
You bet.
He was not a dictator. He was chosen by the people.
And there was no vote fraud involved, folks.
There you go. 100% did not vote for him the way they did for, Stalin and communism.
Yeah.
You know, Stalin, of course, I'm still not sure, because it does appear that, to some extent, that he had some Jewish blood, but let's just say that he did not, okay? We do know he went to a Russian Orthodox school and so forth. But he was one of the only ones in the Politburo out of 22 members or so that was not Jewish then. And they put Jews over him during his career, and they watched him very carefully. You know, they have a lot of lackeys, and the Jews do, for example, Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. And these people they watched very, very closely, and they did him. I mean, they put his second-ranking guy there was a man named Kaganovich, a Jew. And he watched very carefully everything that Stalin did. His two wives were both Jewish too.
Yeah.
In fact, one of them was Kaganovich's sister, Rosa, I think it was. So, I mean, even his wife, he couldn't come home at night, I guess, from the office without her reporting on him.
Total surveillance, yeah.
There you go, total surveillance. But nevertheless, he was ingenious and he was a madman. And he worked ways in which he finally ended up in the mid-30s, about 1936, which is, let's say, they took over 1917, so that would be 19 years. It took him that long to finally outsmart and outswift and figure out what to do about the Jews. And he had decided, you know, he was very angry. He wanted to be number one, and he knew that the Jews controlled everything. So he systematically used the Communist Party, of which he was the chieftain, and he systematically rooted Jews out of places, and was able to do so. He was very, very clever, and when he was finally, I think he was murdered. He was murdered in office.
Right.
And the year he died, he was 53. He had on his desk the order for the arrest of all of the Jews in the entire Russia and Soviet Union complex.
Wow.
And they would all be taken away to the concentration camps, every Jew.
Wow.
So he was really going to put it on the Jews after all those years of favoring them, of murdering millions of Gentiles, butchering all of the priests, almost all of them, shutting down all the churches, all of that. Stalin, he had done his dirty work against the Christians and against the Gentiles. And, you know, there's no honor among thieves. I mean,
no.
Let's just face that. He's a madman, and all of the Jews were madmen, and so he determined to get rid of the Jews. He was going to do it, but unfortunately they gave him some kind of medication that gave him a brain hemorrhage, at least that's what the story was, and he died.
Yeah, he was poisoned.
And he was unable to do what he wanted to do.
Hello, folks. This is Tex Mars again. We'll get back to the program with Jeff Rentz in just a few minutes, but I wanted to talk to you first about a couple of excellent books that we're offering here in the ministry. And, you know, it's about the time of the year you need these books. In fact, I like to get these kind of books really in the dead of winter when everything is just cold, because they'll give you sort of a chill along the back of your neck. Yeah, they'll sort of frighten you a little bit, because there's evil men around. Evil, evil men. And they meet at a place called the Bohemian Grove. It's about 50 miles south of, or outside, I should say, of San Francisco. Amongst the giant redwood trees, these hundreds of global elite, mostly Americans, meet every year, every July. And they do terrible things. We have two books about this. The first one is The Bohemian Grove. It's about it. The Bohemian Grove is a cult. Bohemian Grove, it's by my good friend Mike Hansen, H-A-N-S-E-N, The Bohemian Grove Cult. Now, this is a big book. I think it's about 400 and something pages long. It's a thick, thick book, all kinds of pictures in it, and a complete list of the members of the Bohemian Grove. You know, Richard Nixon said that he was invited for a couple times to, as president, and before he was president, to go to the Bohemian Grove. He said, well, I don't want to say exactly what he said, but he said it was the most faggoty, that's what he said, the most faggoty place he had ever been. He said they were so filthy, the hands of those people, what they were doing with their hands was so filthy, they were all homosexuals and deadbeats. Now, we're talking about the biggest names in the world, the David Rockefellers, the Ronald Reagans, we're talking about top-of-the-line type people, movie producers and heads of oil companies, and, I mean, all of the corporate world and the computer world and all the politicians and, goodness, and they even came from overseas, from the Prime Minister of Great Britain and the Chancellor of Germany, and they came, and there they worshiped a great owl. I'm not kidding you, folks. Now, I'd already studied this before, and, you know, I've got a tape series called The Wicked Men of the Bohemian Grove. I don't know if anybody had ever done anything in this area. And I discovered this group, and I wrote about it, and I did I think it's a two-hour tape series, which you can probably still get. Ask for it. Call up and ask for it here at Power of Prophecy. And many people doubted me. They said, oh, come on. All these great world leaders meeting annually, and they worship a great owl, and they're off doing homosexual things, and worse, there's a story out that they're actually sacrificing young men to the devil. This is true. I said it, and so many people told me I had to be a liar. You've got to be a liar, Tex. Well, I'm glad I've got Alex Jones as my pal and my friends, because Alex decided to see for himself. I told him all about Bohemian Grove. He said, I'm going to see for myself. Good for him. He went to California. He took his camera and he hid it. You know, had one of his hidden cameras. And he and Mike Hansen. Now, Mike Hansen is the author of this book we're offering for $30. And Mike Hansen went with him as the photographer. So it was Mike Hansen, Alex Jones, and they went in to see what was going on, and boy, did they ever get an eyeful. He said it was one of the most horrible experiences of his life. And he told, the book's going to tell you, listen, I had to have a whole program, have Alex on and Mike Hansen as authors and experts on this, because they are now. They saw what really happened. And all the Bushes, of course, are George Bush, George Bush Jr., W, in other words. Everybody was there. Except, of course, there were no women there. Even Newt Gingrich was there. Yes, Newt Gingrich, he was there too. House Speaker at one time. You must get the book, The Bohemian Grove Cult, by Mike Hansen. One of the few non-interested men, well, let's just say, not a Bohemian Grove member. One of the few who had ever visited there. He was not invited, and was he ever lucky that they didn't find out who he was? But he and Alex, they roamed around. Nobody asked him for any ID card. They thought it was so deep in the redwoods there that no one would ever come. Who would even know what was going on? Well, Mike Hansen came back and he wrote this fabulous book. I want you to have it for $30. That's because it's such a big book. All those pictures, the men's names, it's just a great book. Bohemian Grove Cult. I even have a part in it. I think I write the foreword to the book. Plus, there's a little section inside where I'm interviewed about this. And thanks to Alex Jones and Mike Hansen for proving me correct. And since then, other, you know, publications have come out and everybody says, oh, yeah, it's true about the Bohemian Grove. Now nobody seems to question it. But they still haven't been in and saw what happened there. They still don't have the inside information that Mike Hansen gave us in his book. We're offering this book to you for $30 plus $5 shipping and handling. Now, at the same time, my good friend Mark Dice has just recently written another book entitled The Bohemian Grove Facts and Fiction. Now, where Bohemian Grove Cult by Hansen is over 400 pages long, this book is only about 170. So it's a smaller book that you can read maybe in a couple of settings. And maybe you're going somewhere and you're sitting on the bus or you're sitting in the back seat of your car and you're hope you're not driving and you're reading this book. I think it's a wonderful book. And really, it's only $18. That's what we're asking for it. $18. Entitled The Bohemian Grove Facts and Fiction. Facts and Fiction. I think you're going to find out a lot of facts here. You're going to find out what that big owl stands for in here. And there's even a confrontation by a top presidential advisor that happened when people snuck in there to see what was going on. And then you'll find out, remember the book, The Franklin Cover-Up, about those young boys that were taken out and murdered? Oh, my goodness. Oh, yes. That's all in there, too. Please, the book, Bohemian Grove Facts and Fiction by Mark Dice. D-I-C-E. Just $18, add $5 shipping and handling, $23. Or the other book, Bohemian Grove Cult by Hansen, that would be $30 plus $5 shipping and handling. So either one of these two great books, please. Phone us today at 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Or you can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. powerofprophecy.com and order these books, or just write us a letter. 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And now let's return to our regular program. Well, not a regular program, we have a special program. I was on the Jeff Rent Show, and here is the final part of our look at Donald Trump, master of the zigzag and art of the deal.
And I think
that's a remarkable thing, Tex. I didn't know that it was sitting on his desk. Wow.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And Beria, his secret police chief, the KGB guy, was ready to go on it. And of course, not the minute, but within a short period of time, within a couple of days, in fact, of Stalin's dying, Beria, who suddenly had all of this huge power on his own, I mean, he was the guy that was out there arresting all these people and taking them away.
Yeah.
And he had millions on his conscience. Well, he didn't really have a conscience, but on his
yeah.
mind.
Yeah.
But Beria was arrested. The Jews then swept in, the few that were left, and arrested Beria. And of course, he was sent away. So, this is how they got rid of, Stalin. In fact, Stalin had been relieved of his main positions only months before they murdered him. So he was not even in charge anymore. But they don't tell you that. They keep it a secret this day. Now, so we see then that Stalin outsmarted the Jews. He was much, you know, he was more wicked maybe even than they were, if that could be possible. But they were so concerned about it. They were panicking, and they kept seeing their Jewish pals being picked up every day by the secret police, taken away. They never heard from them again, and they knew they were next on the list. So what I'm trying to say about Trump, I'm not saying Trump is going to do this, but it is possible something like this could happen someday, and it might happen with Trump if these people are such traitors, and we know they're traitors. We know they're betrayers of America. And if he finds that to be, you know, and he knows what they are anyway. He knows right now. He's worked with them in the casinos, building his buildings. He's had to work with them. Just read Art of the Deal. I mean, everybody he works with there is a Jew.
He spent his whole adult life working with Jewish money. He understands.
Right. And it's amazing to me the parallels. His daughter, Ivanka, beautiful girl.
Yeah.
But she's married to a Jewish man.
A son of a billionaire, by the way.
Yes, and she has converted to Judaism. And by the way, I think he's a head of a newspaper because they love to buy up all the newspapers and they can paint all the news and pollute it the way that
sure.
they've been doing in America for 40 or 50 years. So he's a newspaper man. So that's Ivanka's husband. But she has converted. Now, this is an amazing thing, too. She's converted to Judaism. But now, Trump says he's a Christian. Well, I doubt that very seriously. He says, I've never felt guilty for anything he's done. That would mean he's probably not a Christian.
That's funny.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but I think there are millions of people out there that think they're Christians that are not. I'm not being judgmental, but they're just like Trump. They don't feel guilty for anything they've ever done either. And I think if you're a Christian, your conscience is going to give you a lot to worry and think about. Not that God can erase that. He can. And I believe he does. And thank God that he does, or we'd all be carrying this burden around. But he'll lift it off of you, take it off of you, make you really a new person. And I so much appreciate that. So anyway, back to Trump, this master of the zigzag. Boy, it had to be the case, not so much in Hitler's case, because he got on the Jews and everybody knew he was dead set against these evil Jews. But now, Stalin was a master of the zigzag, and he was able to fool and deceive the Jews. But do you know something, Jeff? This is many Christians don't even know this. But I've studied Bible prophecy, and I'm not saying you know that I know everything about it. But I do know this: the Bible very clearly shows that the Jews will be the last evil. Let's just say race. And the Antichrist will come from the Jews. I remember Jerry Falwell said that, and they were so angry at him, they made him walk it back. He's that term. Because, you know, they said, you can't say that. But it is true. It's right there in the Bible. But the synagogue of Satan, it talks about the synagogue of Satan, not the mosque of Satan, but the synagogue. And so it also talks about mystery Babylon the Great, the harlot, this whore, this woman that's pictured. She really controls the whole world. And there's, you know, like 10 nation confederation, whatever those are, it doesn't identify the nations, but it says that she rides atop the beast. This 10 nations. And she tells the beast where to go, what to do. Isn't that what Israel is doing now? It says she will do her dirty work with a small people. She doesn't have a huge nation, but she's very, very rich. She's just powerfully rich. She's got jewels, and she's an alcoholic, but only she's drunk with the blood of the saints of Jesus. This is a bad, bad woman. And that actually is a depiction of Israel in the last days. She is Mystery Babylon the Great.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the whole thing. It says that there will come a time when suddenly the beast, that's these nations that she rides, will turn against her. Mm-hmm. And they'll turn on her and burn her with fire and destroy her entirely. And her downfall will come in one little hour. And I think about that. That's going to happen. We're going to see the Jews. There's only 18 or 19 million in the whole world. And all of their schemes. In Proverbs it says, he who digs a ditch will fall into it. And, you know, you and I, we've talked about people who come against us mm-hmm. and just try to destroy us. And, you know, they try every which way they can. But, you know, they eventually fall into a ditch, don't they?
Yeah.
And I think if you try to destroy somebody, especially a person that's doing good things, you're going to find yourself, you know, you're going to be destroyed yourself. It's an amazing thing. But she is destroyed. Israel is going to be destroyed. And it's going to happen so fast, we'll all be shocked about it. But it's going to happen. And I'm wondering if maybe, let me just say something here. Could Trump be the instrument of God in this? But he doesn't have to be a Hitler. He doesn't have to be a Stalin. He can simply be a good guy.
I think he is. I think you're right. That would be my guess right now. Absolutely. Everyone seems to be sweating bullets about the fact that he is appointing, Jews around him. How else could he do it? Who else is going to fit those positions? Who else can make things happen? That's a fact of political life. You have to do it. It's just like going to the AIPAC convention and making that, mandatory speech. I think it's the art of zigzag. I think you're onto something here.
Well, if he ends up finally though, he's going to have to move very fast against these people, because just like Nixon, Nixon did not move fast enough. He and his assistants and his vice president, they were going to do something about the press and the Jews that run America, but they didn't go fast enough, and so he was forced to resign. But this may happen to Trump too. He may be so smart though, and intelligent, that he outwits them. And he's their friend, he's their pal, he's their buddy, and then suddenly, wow, he takes the woman, the whore, so to speak, Mystery Babylon the Great, and suddenly he destroys her in one single hour. She'll be destroyed. And she was responsible for horrible things, horrible crimes, just like the Jews of today. I mean, what terrible, boy, you mentioned the Soviet Union. Boy, I mean, Solzhenitsyn said 66 million perished. Wouldn't that make Hitler's so-called, and I don't believe it, 6 million, that would be like a picnic.
It's not 6 million. We lost, the world, lost 3 million at Auschwitz alone, but no one talks about that. They've had to lower that plaque from 4 million to 3 to 2 to approximately 1. There's 3 million. So what is 3 from 6, Tex? Isn't that 3? Somehow the subtraction doesn't work with those people.
The maker of the bronze plaques there has a nice little industry done, making new plaques.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
So, you know, we've talked about walking back a lot of times here tonight.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so I think this may turn out quite surprising. And I pray that it does. I pray that they will get what's coming to them. Now, anyone who's innocent, though, I mean if they're Jew or Gypsy or Gentile, whatever they are, I want to see them delivered. I want to see them free. But these people who have done such horrible things over the years and who right now are plotting such horrible deeds against Gentiles and others, I hope they get what they deserve.
Right.
I hope they do, and I hope maybe Trump could be the instrument of it. You don't have to be a great Christian man to be God's instrument. I want to bring that up. Nebuchadnezzar was God's anointed, and that's what it says, but he went in and conquered Israel. He conquered it entirely, and God said, he's my anointed. And so that was a sort of a shock that the Jews thought they were God's chosen. Well, I'm sorry, but this guy who worshiped false gods, I'm talking about Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon, went in and conquered them. And he did it because because God wanted him to. And that's the thing about Revelation 17. Why does the beast that she's riding, that does everything she wants, you know, whatever, her beck and call, he does it all. He conquers the whole world, it says, all seven continents. And but why would he turn against her? It says, because it is the will of God that he do so. Hey, that's it. You don't need any other excuse.
No.
That you know, the Jews may say, well, we've treated you so good. Just like they did Stalin, we've done so much for you. You know, put you in, as a dictator and all, and and now you're turning on us? Well, yeah, that's what mad men who are evil do. Psychopaths do that kind of thing. He may be God's instrument here. By the way, if we have time to talk about Gingrich, you know, I did a newsletter on him because a few years ago. If people can go into Amazon, this book is not expensive. I think it's like $4 paperback.
Right.
It's called Creating a New Civilization by Heidi and Alvin Toffler. You know, the people,
sure.
The couple that wrote Future Shock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've written this book too. And guess who the guy who writes the foreword happens to be? Newt Gingrich.
Mm-hmm.
And the Tofflers, who are, believe me, they are worse than communists. Worse than communists. They want a third wave. A new one. They want to go beyond capitalism and communism and create a third wave. That third wave will be a satanic world. And Gingrich is all for it. He says in this book, it would be shocking if people could just read that. They would be up in arms about the possibility of him becoming a vice president. He says in his foreword, we need a new constitution. This is Gingrich. And we need a new religion. The old religion and the entire old society needs to be discarded and done away with.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
I mean, he just flat out said it, and there it is, the Toffers creating a new civilization. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't want just an international order. He doesn't want a global order.
Uh-huh.
He wants a new civilization. Now, on the cover of the book, there's a strange circle, green color, and it's snakes' scales, serpent scales.
Uh-huh.
That's the cover of this book.
Wow.
It's an amazing book.
Wow. So Gingrich's foreword in the book was, if we take it for what it says, pretty damning.
Oh yes, I would have to think. I think even a Stalin would not have let people know what he really believed. This is worse than Stalin.
This is not good. This is why I suggested early that if he were in that position, the assassination potential would go, I think, go up immensely against
him. Yes, it would. He's a very clever guy. He's very smart. You know, he's the guy who said last, when he ran for president, in, was it 2012? And he lost it in the primaries, of course. When he was asked about Palestine, the Palestinians and Israel, he said, there are no Palestinians. They don't exist. He said, somebody made that all up. That's an invention.
This is NAFTA Newt talking. Wow.
Been battered and bruised all these years by the Jews. He says they don't exist. And that's why the Jews love him. He'll do anything the Jews say, but he wants more power for himself. He knows exactly, but think about it. They don't exist. The Palestinians, they don't even, you can kill them. Just like the 66 million Christians that Stalin took to the camps. They don't exist. Not, well, of course they don't now. but this is
this is not good. So Gingrich, under the light of scrutiny and Tex Mora's research, simple as it is so far, comes across as it's damn near frightening. That's not good.
No, it's not. And by the way, I think it was in 2000 and, this book was 1995, by the way. The Toffler book.
Yeah.
But people need to see this because they won't believe it, that something like this could be written in America, and the Speaker of the House endorse it in such a way. You'll remember that he gave a copy of this book to every member of Congress as a gift.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know that. That's incredible. Wow.
It was, and our Congress was so polluted, and so they don't care about the people, that they thought he was a wonderful person. You know, everyone called him a New Ager. He's a New Ager. He's not like us. He's a New Ager. So he thinks he's far ahead of the maddening crowd, you know. He thinks he's superior.
Wow.
But what he's done, you know, just to his wives, you know, just to destroy his wives, and is pretty much.
If you have anything on Newt that I can publish, that reflects this, send it, please.
I'll send it to you tomorrow, Jeff.
I mean, just email it and I'll link right to it. If you've got anything online, I'll get it up there and noticed. We've got to bring this to Trump's attention. This is not the man for him. I knew from the beginning it wasn't right. It's not right. And now you've come up. What you've told us this hour is shocking.
I have reported it, and you can link it, and it'll go to you tomorrow, because he's just, you know, Fox News is really pushing the guy. In fact, Bill O'Reilly of the O'Reilly Factor actually told Gingrich the other night on his program, I think it was Thursday night, he said, I think you're going to be chosen.
Yeah,
as president.
Yeah. Not good. Not good. I don't like that. No, I don't like that. I don't want to hear that. That's bad. That's Wow. I suggested early at the beginning of the hour some negative things, and what you just heard Tex Mars say just amplifies the little I put out there by 100. This is bad. This is really bad. Treachery. Et tu, Brute? Wow. Anything to add, Tex? Go ahead.
Well, I just want to mention that his wife, you know, he married a beautiful blonde, supposedly, divorced his wife, but she has been known as wearing one of the Hillary pins. I don't know if you've heard of the Hillary pins.
No, no.
It's a gold eagle with a little pearl attached in its talons.
Uh-huh.
And women who were in the secret club in Washington, D.C., would wear it.
Huh.
And she's often seen, in fact, I have a picture of her wearing it. Here, she was, her husband was running for president, and she was wearing Hillary Clinton's pin. Now, I know pins don't mean anything to you and I, but to Masons and others, they have big meaning.
You bet.
And you remember the Supreme Court Justice of Sotomayor, who went down to Belize, sort of like the Bohemian Grove each year.
Yeah.
This is sort of the same thing. I'm not sure of what all dirty, foul deeds these women do, but there's a lot to this, and so maybe we can do this at a later time and talk more about it. And
we need to. And if you want to come on before next month, let me know, and we'll make time for you if you have time. So any time at all is good.
Well, wonderful, because you know I know you really love America. Jeff, and we want what's right, and we're right here at the penultimate point of selecting a new president.
True. Yeah,
and so it's very, very important. And I just want to thank you for your courage in these things. Boy, you know, a lot of people are frightened of all of this, and you just go right straight forward, Jeff.
No, I wouldn't do it any other way.
Well, that's true. You can sleep nights at least.
I try. Thank you, Tex, as always. Hope to talk to you before next month, but whatever. We'll be here if you need me.
All right, great. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you. All righty. Good night. Mr. Tex Mars, and again, his output of DVDs and books on symbology and all of this is astonishing. Go to his site and take a look.